You know, it's funny, I look back. It's been a few years training for the ministry, and you go through a lot of things from men that tell you what to do, what not to do, and stuff. But I can remember they said, always keep your message 20 minutes or shorter, because people will lose you, you know. And I remember my first message I preached was 18 minutes. And the second one about 15 minutes. And I actually had the congregation come to me and say, hey, you can preach longer if you want to. I mean, I think what it was, they just getting to sleep. I was waking them up to go home, you know. But I truly believe it's not the length of the message that counts. It's what the contents of the message is, you know. I mean, I could step over 3 hours and talk, or I could actually in 1 minute deliver a message from the Lord to you, you know. So that's very, so blessed to do the ministry. And again, my first message was that God is love. And the thing of it is you allow God to be number one in your life, and don't waver, no matter how bad you're waiting for something to happen. If you have to take and walk away from the Word of God to accomplish that, if you have to compromise what God has established in your life, if you have to water down the Word of God in order to justify yourself and doing what you're doing, it's not worth it. Okay? Continue with the Lord. Whatever He's brought you to, He'll bring you through if you stay with Him. And sometimes what happens, we get in the middle of something and we get scared. It gets scary sometimes. You want something to take place. You're expecting something to be done, and it doesn't happen the way you think it should. You know, we could have got upset when we lost the finances on the house. Oh, man, I guess God, what are you going to do to us? We didn't. We just stayed with Him. And we honored Him, and then He blessed us so much. And but you know, last week we were looking at, I made a comment that a lot of people say that, well, God made me that way, and if He made me that way, then that's just the way I am. God didn't make us the way that we are. Okay, we were made in His likeness, but He did not make Starkey Lawrence the way Starkey Lawrence came into the world. Okay. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate a little bit, because what I want to show is that God gets a bad rap a lot of times. Well, God made me this way. You know, we blame God for everything bad, and we take the credit for everything good, don't we? I mean, mankind, not saying you personally do that. And I did this demonstration before. I want to use it today, and I'll build on this. But my son, Ryan, is here somewhere. Oh, there. Okay. Okay, my wife is... Aaron, you be my son in a second. You can stay there. Now, my son, I love him very much. I've got a glass of water I want to give my son. Okay? Now, do you love your children? We want to help your children out. You know? And look at this beautiful water. Okay? So, I am going to take this water and give it to my son. Now, as I do so, Daryl, I want you to turn around and hand it to Joe. And Joe, you pass it on to Pammy. Pammy's pass it clear down until it gets to Aaron. Just behind you there, okay, guys? Look how many people's handling that water I gave him to give them. Look at all that. My land, down, down, down. Man. Okay, Aaron, switch that for me, please. Now, what kind of father, you bring the other one back up to here. You look at this now, and you say, what kind of father is Starkey? How could he send this down to his son to drink? My land, say, it's terrible. Okay? I mean, oh, you blame him. He's worthless. He's not compassionate. He's not caring. How could I give this to my son to drink? Well, what I did, I start out with this, pure water. I hand it down to Daryl. Now it goes from one place to another, to another, to another. And during the course of getting it to Aaron, it is polluted by everyone that handles it. What I meant to be good turned out to be tainted. And I, the father, gets blamed for this when really it wasn't me. I sent this down. You did it. You guys, as it passed from hand to hand to hand, your sin or your dirt went into the water, and by the time it got to my son, it was tainted. And I get the blame for it. Okay? It's the same way of God. It's the same way of God that He created man, and we read that last week in Genesis. He created man, put us in the garden, out sin. We were perfect in His eyes. He gave us instructions. Do not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The minute they eat from it, you will die. What happened? Did not man eat from it? Okay. Sin came in the world. We got removed from the garden. So now, down through generation to generation to generation to generation to generation, that sin that came into being when Adam and Eve sinned tainted ourselves. It tainted our bloodline, if I can say that. And last week we talked about Cain and Abel and how through the scripture looks like Cain and Abel's wife would have been daughter or their sister. Would have been his sister. Because God never put the law down that you could not be with your sister till I think it was Leviticus. Because what happened was it was tainted so bad and mankind was so sinful that we had actually eliminated ourselves before now. We wouldn't be here because of how bad sin was into the world. But what happens is that we don't understand things. We have scriptures, and what I'm here, Matthew 19:26. If you have your Bibles, turn to there. Cause this is one thing that Matthew 19:26 says, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we see that with God, all things are possible, and I think we all believe that. So we think that whatever happens upon the world, that God caused it to happen, but He doesn't. Yes, He allows things to happen, because at the very beginning, when He put man in the garden, He gave us dominion over it, okay? Remember, He said, okay, you guys are in charge. He steps back. He's not involved anymore. He gave us dominion over the world. And as sin entered into our lives, it entered into the world, and it started tainting what God had originally intended for mankind. If Adam and Eve would sin, and we were in the garden today, there would be no sickness, no disease, there would be no death, there would be nothing. Nothing would be perverted at all. It would be perfect. But when sin came into the world, it brought in sickness, disease, deformities, all this. As I was speaking last week, saying that this is a book of love, this is God's love to us, I want to give you an illustration. I won't mention Bonnie's name at all on speeding, okay? But you're going down a highway, and let's say the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, and Bonnie is traveling at 53 miles an hour. Okay, Bonnie, we'll give you a credit this time, okay? You're actually... Okay? And a policeman pulls behind you, turn on the red lights, and stop you. Bonnie's thinking, wow, I saw the sign. Policeman walks up to him, I see your driver's license registration, ma'am? Yes, but what did I do wrong? Well, you were speeding. Speeding? The sign says 55, I'm going 53. But the policeman says, yes, but today the speed limit's 35. So he writes you a ticket. Wow. And Bonnie goes on her way. So the next day, Bonnie's going down the same highway. Now she's traveling at 35 miles per hour because she don't care what that sign says. It's 35 miles per hour. The red lights come on. Bonnie's pulled over. The same police officer walks up to him. I see your driver's license registration, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know what I stopped you for? Well, I was going 35. Yes, but today the speed limit is 70 miles per hour. And if you're going under 45, you're impeding the flow of traffic, and here's a ticket. The next day, Bonnie wants to come to town. What to do? You don't know what to do. Because what is the law going to be today? And it'd be very confusing. Very confusing. I mean, you go to court in front of the judge, say, well, Your Honor, the speed limit said 55, I was going 53, but the officer said that it was 35 that day. Well, what's the problem? The officer dropped the law, but I didn't know that. That's no excuse, guilty. Then the next day you go to court, same judge, you know. Well, Your Honor, I was going 35 today. And the officer stopped me and said it was 70. And if I was going on the 45, I'm impeding flow of traffic. And he gave me a ticket. Okay, guilty. What kind of justice would that be? I mean, it wouldn't be, would it? It'd be very confusing. You could argue and argue and argue. Hey, listen, I didn't know that you changed the law. I didn't know that what was posted there wasn't accurate. I didn't know that this guy kept changing it every day. You could fight that. But you would probably agree with me that that officer did not have your well-being at stake. And he was not sharing any type of love, was he? Okay? Because you think love would be, okay, Bonnie, the speed limit is, it says 55, but it's 35 now, so you have to slow down. Oh, okay. And the next day, he was, oh, Bonnie, okay. Listen, we changed it again, it's 70. How many times would it go before you say, he's not showing me any compassion or love, he's just playing games with me. Okay? He keeps changing the law on me. Well, to show you what love is, Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. And if you listen to me on the internet, Malachi 3:6, I want you to highlight this also. This shows you God's love. And it's one thing that we hear a lot. That was then, this is now. And God knew that conversation would take place in our time. But Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Amen? Isn't that great to know that he's not going to change? As you read his love story to us in the Bible, the way he speaks, he doesn't change. It's still the same. Thank God that we don't read Ten Commandments today, go back tomorrow, and he changes them on us. Changes on him. No. Through his love, he gives us his word. That way we know what he wants us to do. You know, for anyone, I think it's really hard for anyone, at least here in America, at least a lot of people, everyone's hearing the gospel, okay? And people know what sin is and what sin isn't. And to stand before the Lord on judgment day, and he says, well, listen, did you do this and this and this? Yes. Well, that was sin. Didn't you know that? What would the reply be? Yes. Well, didn't you know the consequences on that? How many people know if you get a speeding ticket today, there's going to be a fine? Most people do. Most of the time, if you actually get the ticket itself, you're going to go to court and pay a fine. Now, if you're going fast enough, you might even go to jail. Okay, if you had too many tickets in a year, you might even lose your license. But you know that there would be a fine when you get to jail or when you go to court. God, in the same way, through his love, he shows us what is offensive to him, which is labeled sin, and he shows us what the consequences is. Okay, now, in reality, the speed limit, Bonnie, is 55, is 55, right? We know that, okay? Get in my car, or your car, or Meg's car, and I go down the highway, 70 miles per hour, I can probably expect to get stopped and get cited by an officer for speeding. And I know that if I go to Coshocton Court, I'll pay $80 court costs, plus whatever the fine is. I'm not sure how many miles it is anymore, but it could probably cost me $150. I know that before I even do that. Okay? It's up front. Now I've got a choice to make. Is it worth it? Me breaking the law at 70 miles per hour to get where I'm going? I have to decide that now. Now, I would say no, but there could be a case that maybe it's an emergency and I have to go that fast. And I pray that if I do get stopped, that the officer would have leniency on me. Okay? Even though officers, they get lied to so much, everyone's got something going on, you know what I'm saying? But we have to decide, is it worth me breaking the law and paying the penalty for what I'm doing? Okay? Same with God. He gives us what sin is. And he tells us that the wages of your sins is what? It's death. Separation from him for now and for eternity. You know, for God to tell Daryl to tell you not to do something, Daryl, don't steal. Okay? Well, to me, if God said that's all we really need, right? But don't steal. And you're sitting there thinking, well, if I stole, though, what kind of benefits would I have? I seen Aaron last week get a couple of bucks out of that offering when he stole the offering. You might, without knowing what the penalty is, you might say, well, I'll go ahead and steal anyway. Okay? I had an argument in church this week, a discussion with a guy in church. He got cited for something that didn't have a penalty section in it, so how could they cite me and give me court calls because there's no penalty section covering the violation that I did? That's a pretty good point. It's a pretty good point he had. So here you're sitting here now, not knowing what the penalty would be. It must not be a penalty. So you go steal, and then your day comes with judgment in front of God, and you say, well, Daryl, did you steal? Yes. Did I tell you not to? Okay, you go. Well, God, I didn't know. Well, the first thing is, he just told you to do it, and that's enough. But out of his love, he says, okay, if you continue to sin, you'll be separated from me for eternity in a place that is labeled as hell. A place where it's a terrible place with fire and brimstone and the gashing of teeth and the torment for eternity. Out of his love for his creation, who turned their backs on him, he still loves us, he gives us his word, and shows us, hey, listen, this is the penalty section here. But he loves us so much that Jesus Christ, his son, came and died for your sins and mine. To pay that debt. It'd be like Bonnie going to court, and Bonnie gets in the court, and the penalty is $135. Boom! And Joe Kirker steps up and pays the fine. Wow, what a blessing that is. Man. Now, Bonnie could argue, Joe, this is my speeding ticket. I want to pay it myself. Or she's, well, thank you, Joe, very much. I appreciate that. Okay? How awesome that is. Same way with God. He loves us so much that his son came and died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. And when we receive him as our Savior and Lord, our sin debt is wiped out. Now we need to go and do what? Sin no more. Okay? And that's the tough part, amen? And sin no more. And the Bible even says that those who are born again do not continue to sin. And a lot of times you think, well, I can't be a Christian because I try and try, and I still sin. And the spirit behind that is that those who are born again do not willfully continue to sin, is what they're saying, that we turn away from our sins. Okay? We will still sin because we're still in the flesh, but we will not be a hobby or a habit. We will not practice our sins to get better at it. Okay? So we know that we are. There was a penalty for it, and Christ paid for that. But God won't change it. Don't think that because what you hear today, that, well, this is a different generation, you know, that God is different today. He's not different today. Okay? Please don't let anyone convince you that he is. I've had people tell me when I try to share to them about tithing and stuff, you know, and they tell me, well, tithing, that was before we had alimony and child support, okay? and they were sincere on it. I said, well, you know, you got to talk with God on that, but, you know, we tithe off our income. And, you know, you can argue that point with God, and I'm not going to argue it for you, but again, we think that God changes and he doesn't. And if we just allow God's word to be first in our life would be a lot better. A lot better. And the promises he has, you know, we talk about healing that he comes from, you know, and fast forward as we devote ourselves to him. I'm telling you, that is where the strength for the fasting and word. Hebrews 13:8 also confirms to you that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen, Jason. That's awesome to know that. You know, you got that on your heart, man. He's the same. Praise God. He's not going to be like that policeman and walk up to you today and decide, well, I need some more money for the policeman ball. We'll just lower the speed limit today and get Bonnie another ticket, okay? He's not. He's not. No, he's the same. Jason, yes?
I do have a question. The old law. That's what confuses me.
Okay.
Okay, because if he's the same yesterday.
Uh-huh. Oh, see, but yeah.
Right.
The awesome thing about the old law, the Old Testament, New Testament, is that in the New Testament, you're not put to death the minute you sin. Okay, we have grace now. In the old days, it says, children mouth off to their parents, they would put to death. Okay? Praise God, the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, we have the opportunity to repent. Okay? If in the old days you were caught in adultery, you were stoned to death. You know, this church might be halfway empty by then, you know? Okay? But Jesus says, praise God, that because through His grace that He does not do that. He gives us a chance to repent. Amen? And now, because we're not stoned to death, He made it a little bit stricter. He said, okay, well, I'm telling you, though, if you even lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. What he's saying, the minute you conceive sin, you grasp a hold of it, you're going to do it, you've already committed the sin, whether you fall through the act or not. So he's saying, if you're sitting there and... if you're sitting here some night and you're watching the Victoria's Secret thingamabob they do, and you are lusting in your heart, you've already committed adultery in the eyes of God, okay? But the great thing, I'm glad you brought that up, Jason, is that people, they say, well, we don't go by the law anymore. We go by the New Testament. But Jesus, I didn't come to abolish the law. I come to fulfill the law in this grace that we live with. And people bring that a lot up to me when talk about tithing. Well, tithing is in the old law. We're under grace. Yeah, I mean, you look at the New Testament, in Malachi it says 10%. Jesus says in the New Testament, the more that you give, the more you receive. So there's no longer that 10% cap. He took the cap off. So if you give 20%, 30%, you know, He gives more back to us. Amen? Amen. And so, yes, that's very good. I'm glad you brought that up, Jason, because people get really confused. They read the Old Testament and say, well, we're on the New Testament now. But it all comes together. That's how much the blood of Jesus Christ is. How many of us today would not be here, would be eliminated because of sin? Wow. And Jesus, He showed His compassion when that woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law said to stone her to death. Jesus said, okay, he without sin cast the first all sin. And He gave grace. And that's where we're at today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 John 4:8. Verify to you again through the scriptures that the one who does not love does not know God. And the key word here, for God is love. Okay? God is love. For God is love. If you have your Bible, does your Bible say the same thing to say that God is love? Okay, so we know what God gives us is out of love. It's not out of hate for us. It's not out of force. He doesn't want to destroy what He's created. Out of love, He's given us His word to us, because I'm telling you, His heart breaks more than ours break when we watch the evening news and you see some of the distortions of people anymore and the sicknesses and diseases. He's thinking, my, I made Him perfect. I gave Him a little free will and look what we've done. But you know, He doesn't give up on us. He still loves us, you know. Sometimes, you know, most We never give up. If you got kids, you never give up on your kids. My mom and dad never gave up on me. A few times I knew they probably wanted to, or they could have. A lot of times my father kept silent. You know, when he knew what I needed, but he waited till I came to him. Because when a child comes to the parent asking questions, they'll receive the answer. But a lot of times when the father goes to the children, they're rejected because no one's going to tell me what to do. And our Heavenly Father, the same way, at the time He's sitting here, He knows what you need. People say, well, God, why didn't you do this? He's waiting. Okay? He gave us that communication called Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that once you receive that, you come back and you'll ask Him, why, God? And when you ask God why, He will start showing yourself to Him. He'll show you why the things are the way they are today. He'll show you how to help turn things around. Amen? Thank you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Well, I might have wrote down wrong. Oh, it's 1 Corinthians 4. Chapter 13, verse 4. But we talk, what is love? And if I asked Joe what love is, he might say, well, his wife baked him a cake on a Friday night, okay? Which is her way of showing love, okay? Asking what love is for my wife, and it could be her doing my laundry for me, okay? But if you don't have a wife to bake you a cake and do your laundry, then you know what love is, because you don't have it, but love is. Paul tells us that love is patient, Love is kind. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It's not act unbecoming. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. And love never fails. And this is American Standard. You got King James. You got different words in there, but it's showing you that love is something that you want and share. It doesn't say love destroys, love tears apart, love humiliates, does it? It doesn't say that love never forgives, love never forgets. No, it doesn't. No, it's the opposite to that. You know, God loves us so much that He chooses, as we come to Him, to forgive us our sins, and He chooses no longer to remember those sins. Amen? And I always try to remind couples before they get married, you know, that love keeps no record of wrongs. And when you come together and you ask for forgiveness, forgive, forget, and go on. What does a lot of bad work in a marriage is that the husband and the wife will keep bringing up past experiences, you know, and it makes it hard for a relationship. And God doesn't do that. When you go to God, you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord, your sins are forgiven, He chooses no longer to remember it. So as you're sitting there or standing there or walking around, and those sins that you committed years ago come back to you, and you start thinking, wow, God must not forgive me of them sins. He brought them back to my attention. Or God, it's not God. Satan will do that. He'll return your sins back to you, try to make you feel terrible, try to get you to walk away from God. Well, He can't forgive you, but it's wrong. Satan's wrong. Understand that. When Christ comes into your life, when you receive Him, when you're born again, all them things are passed away. You're a new creation. A new creation. But again, that was 1 Corinthians. I'm going to change my note here. 13:4. Romans 5:12 says, by one man, all was born into sin. Okay? By one man. When Adam fell into sin, sin came to every one of us. And the thing here to remember, again, that the penalty of sin was made known to Adam before he sinned. You know, there is consequences. You know, to disobey God, there is consequences. But through His love, He tells us, He told Adam before he did it. So listen, leave this alone. If you do, you surely die. You're going to be separated. It's going to be terrible. Stay away from it. So through His love, He told him up front that don't bother it. But He gave mankind a free will. And through that free will, sin came into the world. Because we weren't content with the things of God for some reason. And, you know, I can't wait to have coffee with Adam one of these days. And just, you know, I know it. I don't know what caused him to do that, but I know ourselves now that we do things that we wish we hadn't done it, and we can't go back and start over again, but God forgives us from it. And I know his heart would be heavy. He has to look down and see the repercussions of what, you know, his stomach says, eat that, and what it cost us. And ourselves, in the same way, we could look at our own life and think about how some of our decisions reflect upon our children's lives. You know, man, we just go back and change something, we wish we could, but we can't go back. We only go forward. If we are in a stage where we have sinned, we need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. Ask children to forgive us if you've done things towards your child, or even children to their parents. You know, to live in forgiveness is a key here. Yes. Psalm 51:10, it says, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Again, create in me a clean heart. So in order to create a clean heart, that means you must have a dirty heart, okay? So again, showing that we are born into a sin nature. That's transferred to us. And here we are. Wow, we are 5,000. I lost my... Almost 6,000 years removed from Adam and Eve, okay? And the sin nature of mankind is getting worse and worse. We are falling more, we're giving ourselves more and more to the ways of what Satan wants to be done on this earth. And so that's why we have what we have today. One more scripture for you today. I want you to go to Numbers 14, 18. I'll bring it together then. Numbers 14, 18. Again, trying to show what God is trying to show here today. When you say, "Well, hey, I was born that way," no matter what you whatever you're talking about, God made me that way, and He's showing today that He did not make you that way. Okay, He made us perfect. 6,000 years ago, He made us perfect, put us in the garden, gave us free will, gave us a warning: don't sin, because sin will bring death, which is sickness and disease and separation from God. Okay, He told us all that. We choose to sin. So here we are today. We are, before we receive Christ, we are part of the sin nature. What you see is a child that, when it mouths off to his mama, okay? How old are they when they start mouthing off to you? 5, 6, 18 months. When the first time they tell you no? I'm asking you. But what causes a child to do that? There's children, yeah, that will mouth off, and the parents will mouth off to them. It's that nature that comes into them, a rebellious nature, to rebel. Now sit down there and be quiet. Bear! I mean, you've never screamed at your kid before, but they do that. See? The garden must have been a perfect place. Kids would never sass you. You know, they never yell back at you. Okay? Because, and I don't have the scripture for you. I'm sorry. I don't have it researched. But there's a scripture that tells that if children disobey their parents, mouth off to the parents, they would put to death. Okay? I mean, that's how bad sin was. Okay? So, if that is the commandment to honor your father and your mother, okay? If that is a commandment, and God made you rebellious, what kind of God would that be? I mean, okay, I'll pick on you since you're on the front row of the day there, brother. If I tell you to have a seat in that white chair this morning, okay, you sit down, but you sit in that chair, and you're going to be arrested. I mean, what would you think of me? Not very much, huh? Yeah, you don't anyway, do you? Okay. But again, if God made something a penalty, but then made it into your being to do that, what kind of God would he been? No, he'd been a terrible God. He created us perfect in his image, places in the garden. We choose to sin, okay? Now, through his love, he showed us, listen, the stuff that you call normal nowadays is sin, okay? I haven't changed any. This is sin. And the wage of these sin is death, sickness and disease. A lot of our deformities, a lot of our stuff this world is because of how mankind had deteriorated over the centuries by walking away from God's Word. God's intention was never for any of us to be born with any type of deformities, any type of mental anguish, any type. It was not His intention, okay, guys? But as we walk away from God, these things happen. That they happen because of sin. And please, don't think that I'm saying that it's because sin in your own personal life or this or that is why you are the way you are today. I'm just saying sin of mankind. We're in this boat together, mankind, okay? And it has been handed down from generation to generation. Numbers 14, 18 said, "The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations." And same time, Exodus 25, I'll just read this one to you. Fourth commandment. You shall not worship them or serve them, meaning false gods. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And right away, people say, well, what, God, why would he have the sins of the father visit the third or fourth generation? Right away, they won't get on God because he's allowed this to take place. They don't say, wow, if I honor God, he'll bless a thousand generations behind me? You know, just think of that. As you gave your life to God, as you become born again through Jesus Christ, it broke any type of hand-me-downs, iniquities that come your way. Any type of sins, generation curses are broken when you gave your life to Jesus. And now the blessing will come upon the next thousand generations, he's saying. But there is repercussion for our sins. And I know we don't want to look at it. We want to bless God for everything. But mankind is so perverted anymore from the Word of God. We're having stuff taking place in this world, and people are being born of deformity and stuff because of us, not because of God. And we have to own up to it. And when we say that God made me that way, he did not make you that way, okay? Sin made you that way, but God has given you an awesome plan. He'll take you and turn you around. He'll show you what you're doing is sin, but he won't leave you there. He said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'll cause you to be regenerated. I'll cause you to be a new creation. When you realize that this here is God's love to you, and it shows that you are in sin, and to turn away from that sin, you say, well, I just can't do it. Well, you cannot do it without Jesus Christ. When he comes into your life, he'll give you the strength to turn away from that sin you're in. If you're in the fornication, pornography, if you're in the homosexual activities, if you're a kleptomaniac, whatever it is your nature. God did not make you that way. Don't tell people that he did. Amen? Amen? He sent Jesus Christ to turn you around. First of all, you got to realize that this is a love story. That God loves you so much, he showed you what sickness, he showed you what sin is. And what sickness is, how it comes into your body. But he don't leave you there. He said, I want to forgive you. He sent Jesus Christ here to forgive us of our sins. But I'm telling you, as human beings, we are getting worse. We are getting worse as humans. I'm not talking about your church here, okay, guys? As humans. This past week, and I don't know the guy's name. Maybe somebody can help me out here. He's a basketball player. They came out and said that he is a homosexual. Okay, he came out and people applauded him. Now listen, okay, I'm just telling you. I mean, if he came out and said that I'm an adulteress, you know, look at Tiger Woods. Remember Tiger Woods a few years ago? We was ready to hang him up. We want to tar and feather him. Okay, wow. That's called adultery, okay? And it's in the same verses in the Bible as homosexuality is, okay? But this guy comes out and says, yes, I'm out of the closet, I'm a homosexual, okay? And what does it do? Our president of the United States calls him and congratulates him. And but what I'm saying, though, we're congratulating him that his lifestyle will take him to hell if he doesn't repent. See what I'm saying, okay? I mean, if he wants to come out of the closet, fine. At least now we know how to pray for him. But the same week, we had Tim Tebow, a Christian football player that honored God in every aspect of his life. He's persecuted. He's out of football now because he's too much of a liability because he's a Christian. Wow. You say, well, preacher, what were you getting at here? I'm going to close with this here. The sins of the fathers will visit iniquity, and iniquity will visit the children of the second, third, and fourth generation. This is how it starts. And I wish I knew the basketball player's name. He is free to choose in America his own lifestyle. But as we honored him this past week, he got called by the President of the United States. So I'm going to show you a scenario. Let's go to a 8th grade or 5th grade basketball camp. Okay? And you got the coach in there and teaching kids how to play. And he starts talking about basketball player X. I don't know his name. I don't remember his name. And he starts sharing how great he is. And the kids already read in school, oh, well, he's a homosexual, okay? Yes, look how great he's playing. So, man, the President of the United States called him. And, man, it must be awesome, you know? Now, you want to be just as good as he is, don't you? Yeah. And that will, he'll take that Give them the wrong hand, they'll talk that kid into having a homosexual activity because he's saying that, well, the President of the United States called him and congratulated him for him, and now he's a great basketball player, and well, my coach is thinking, well, what's wrong if this guy did it, why can't we do it? Next thing you know, the kids will be more abused because we're looking at someone who's chosen to come out and say, yes, I am a sinner, I'm living in a homosexual relationship, and we're glorifying them. At the same one who follows Jesus Christ, who is love, he's put down. Made fun of, don't recognize, don't mention Jesus. How many Christians, children we have in schools today that now be persecuted more and more will actually start shutting up because look what happened to Tim Tebow. You know, you got Christians waiting, oh man, we'll get a scholarship to this school, and they're shut their mouth up because they know they recognize Jesus Christ, they'll be put down. Folks, we're sending the wrong message out there. Okay, listen, and again, it's whether you're a thief, a drunkard, a liar, a gossiper. Listen, all that carries the same wages. So, like I said last week, I don't know why they always say, well, what would you do if a homosexual come to church? Well, I preach at him like I do anybody else. Just like an adulteress, a liar, a thief, you know, we all come from somewhere, amen? And how did we change around? We heard the Word of God, realized that God is a God of love, and what seems so natural today in the eyes of mankind is not natural in the eyes of God. That's what we have to get across. There is hope. So I know you can't help it sometimes because that nature is so brought into us anymore that you cannot. But with Jesus Christ, there's help available. There is help available. I don't care what your addiction is today. As you come to the Lord, He will set you free. Being born again. Create a new mind. I give you a new heart. But when you realize that this is God's Word, it don't change. It'll never change. It's given to us out of love. To show more love, He sent us Christ to pay for the wage of the sin that we did before we knew it was sin. Or even though we might have knew it was sin, we didn't want God. He's a forgiving, loving God, but the choice is up to us. And we have to, with us sitting here as born-again Christians, we have the truth. We have to bring the truth out. We have to speak it. It might be very unpopular in a lot of places. I know that. But God doesn't change any. He doesn't. And just because one comes out and shows that what their bondage is, doesn't mean there's no hope, okay? I mean, the Word of God will set them free also. But we are not. God did not make us this way. He showed us the way, but He didn't make us this way. We are products of our own demented, moralist culture. But man, there's hope, guys. You know, you guys sang this morning the blood of Christ. I mean, man, I tell you, one drop of blood. That means one, as a person realizes they're in sin and they ask God to come into their life through Christ Jesus, they receive forgiveness of sins right now. He'll come and He will start changing a person's life. Draw closer to Him. He'll draw closer to you. It's a relationship. It's called born again. Not just the word save, okay? We use the word save a lot, but it's born again and rebirth. And the Spirit of God comes into you, it gives you a spirit that's alive. And the Word of God comes into you, it starts renewing your mind. It's a complete relationship. It's a way of life. And I'm telling you, He's coming back very, very soon. And these days, In some ways, they get uglier and uglier, but I'm telling you, our God doesn't change, and the promises He's given us are still the same yesterday, today, and to tomorrow. As you get into tomorrow, God's already there. As you follow Him, He'll make your ways that's tolerable for us. Because remember, this is not our home. We're only temporary here. Our place is, okay? That's where we'll find it's going to be easy. That's where we'll find the streets of gold. That's where we'll find peace beyond our imagination. But here on earth, and we are soldiers of the cross. There's a war going on, a spiritual war. And we're engaged in the battle. And I'll tell you, we've got to hang on to our weapon, which is the Word of God. And we've got to keep praying. And just draw closer to Him. And we'll survive this thing. We'll survive this thing. Amen? Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and may he be gracious to you. May God turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May his hand be upon you. May the Holy Spirit overflow you. May he guide you in all wisdom. May every decision you make this week be made using God's word as a guidance. May you walk in good health, prosperity, and may that extend upon your household and upon your children's children's children as we give God the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.